Welcome to the Cash Confident Podcast. I'm Bree Sedano, your fearless host, personal finance expert, and the visionary behind the revolutionary Cash Confident community. Get ready to embark on an electrifying journey where we redefine the rules of money and empower women to harness the immense power to craft the life they truly, truly desire. This podcast is the ultimate resource, meticulously crafted for women who are ready to unleash their financial prowess and embrace a life of abundant success. We leave no stone unturned as we delve into the depths of money management, mindset mastery, and the undeniable influence of emotions on your financial decisions. Prepare to rise above the societal limitations and break free from the chains that have held you back as we equip you with the tools and knowledge to make bold, confident choices with your cash. We believe that true financial power begins with knowledge, and that is exactly what we deliver. So buckle up, my fierce and ambitious friends, as we embark on this transformative journey to becoming cash confident together. Everybody, Bree Sedano here, coming to you for the Cash Confident Podcast. And today what we're going to be working on is three beliefs that either open or close your, I'm going to call it your money channel. That sounds like a little woo, but where I'm going with this is these three beliefs either open you up to money and your access to money, or it will shut you down and make money feel so bad and so gross. I do all things woo, so we're just going to go ahead and call it your money channel, but that's what I'm talking about. And we're just going to go. Actually, I want to tell you a fun little story, and then we're going to do our work. Today, I got to go to the hardware store and get new baby chickens. We have six chickens, and we just got two more, and they lay us eggs. And I don't know if you have chickens. My husband does most of the work. We could share chicken stories, but don't ask me questions about the work involves the chickens because he does all of it. People always ask me, like, they ask me questions, and I'm like, I literally have no idea. Because I just get to hang out with the chickens. Mike does all the chicken labor. But they lay us sweet little eggs, and they're such a delight. Our chickens are, they eat the bugs out of the garden, and they get to roam in our yard, and they have this beautiful little coop. And anyways, so it just feels like springtime. It feels like springtime. I'm sure by the time you're listening to this, it will be definitely way into springtime. Yeah. So anyways, I just wanted to share that with you. We got one little gray one and one black one. And I love black chickens because they're so beautiful. They get their feathers get all shiny and purple and green iridescent. And they're just such magical little creatures. I don't know what the gray one's going to be like once its real feathers come in, because it's still got little baby chicken like fur feathers. It's all like fluffy. So I'm not sure what the gray one is going to look like, but she was the sweetest. So we picked her. So anyways, I'm just telling you that because that's a fun little story. I don't know. And then we brought them home and they were chirping. My cat, beside himself with curiosity, he's like looking at the box. And then they don't get to go in the coop right away. They have to stay in a little incubator inside the house for a while. And so they have the little glowing light and their little bed of hay and whatnot. And my cat is just sitting next to it, just beside himself with curiosity. So it's a good day. It's a good day here in my house. All right. So that's got nothing to do with three beliefs about money, but I wanted to tell you that story anyways. All right. So now we're going to do our work. Now we're going to do the fun part, what you came for, your money mindset, right? So the first belief, that if we have one belief, it will shut you down to money. And if we have the other side of the belief, it will open you up to money. And that belief is either money is a limited resource, there is a finite amount of money in the world, or money is abundant. And so if you believe that money is a finite resource, that there is a certain amount of money on the planet, and whatever you have means that somebody else can't have it, money is going to feel bad for you. That is a very closed, that's a way to close off your money channel. And the reason for this is because chances are you're a good human, you're a good person, and you're thinking, wow, I have so much more than I need. There are people literally starving. There's people who don't have anything, people who are homeless. And my excess is the reason that they don't have any money. So if we believe that we're in a zero-sum game and that everybody who has more than enough is literally taking it from the mouths of people who don't have enough, then that's going to feel bad. And people who believe this will generally, they will feel guilty about charging. They'll feel guilty about getting paid. They will feel guilty and bad in their relationship with money. Also, this will show up with a massive amount of resentment or anger or disgust towards big corporations and towards people who have a lot of money. All right. That's the way that kind of opens and closes. Now, if you believe that money is abundant, an abundant resource, and that there's an unlimited amount of money that can circulate through the world, you're going to feel very different about it. And this is actually the way that I think that's true. It's not, I think it's true. It's just that the amount of money in circulation grows over time. The amount of money that's in circulation has grown as humans grow. And the thing that I want you to understand is that money is a symbol for value that's been exchanged. This is a symbol for money that's been exchanged. And so you can add value to the world that is brand new, that nobody's ever done before. So look, when I started this company, I started to offer services that nobody was offering them to the people that I was offering them to, right? I guess that might be a way to put it. I'm sure other people offer services that I also offer. And then when I was able to hire somebody, that job was created. That money was created. That value exchange was created. And so if it was true that money was a limited resource, we wouldn't be looking for more businesses, because why would we? If there was a finite amount of money, more businesses would mean less for everybody. And that's not true. Everybody's saying start new businesses, grow new businesses. We need new jobs. We need this, we need that. So in order to grow the economy, we grow businesses, we grow jobs, and that also grows the amount of value that we put into the economy, the amount of money that's there, the amount of taxes that are paid, the amount of wages and whatever else, that it all goes upwards. And so if our economy is growing, there's a lot of economies that are growing, right? And if it was a zero-sum game, as one economy would grow, another economy would shrink. And we don't really see that, although sometimes economies do shrink. But it's not a zero-sum game. And this is the first belief that I would start to switch over. If your money relationship is tough, I would look at this one, because this is about money in general. It's a big belief structure. So if you believe that money is a zero-sum game, you're going to feel bad about it because you're a good person. And if you believe that money is an abundant resource, and that the way that you would create money is to access the value that you can provide in exchange. Now, listen, I do want to just point out that money is the symbol for money that is exchanged in the marketplace. It's not the symbol for all value, right? If I'm a stay-at-home mom, I'm going to invest in my kids, I'm going to invest in my house, and I'm not going to necessarily get paid for that because there's no market exchange happening. I'm putting my investment of time, money, energy into my house, into my kids, and they will eventually get an ROI on that investment at some point down the road when they're exchanging their products or services or time or whatever in the market, if that's what they choose to do. But it's not a market exchange. And so I just want to point that out, because sometimes people get their feelings hurt when I say things. I'm like, the value, I'm talking about market exchange value. I'm not talking about all of money. Money is not the symbol for all value. It's just the symbol for market exchanged value, right? You can provide value to somebody that's not in a market exchange and there's no money exchanged, right? Like, I can provide a meal to my next door neighbor and it not be financial interaction. And there's still value that's being given and received there. It's just not, money's not involved in that, right? So that's one of the first beliefs that will help you to open up your money channel. Because once you see that money is abundant, and once you see that there's value and everybody has value that they could offer to the world, every single person has value. Now, whether or not they do that, whether or not they're set up for that, whether there's a million other factors for that, right? Like poverty, upbringing, education. There's a lot of other factors that go into that, but every single person has value to deliver to the world. We all have gifts, skills, talents. So that's the first belief, that if you believe that money's limited, you're going to be more closed off to money. Your relationship with money is going to be tighter. If you believe that money is abundant, then you don't have to feel bad about having a lot of it, because it's like air. If I breathe, it doesn't impact you. There's still enough air for you. Right? Like, it doesn't, I can have, not that air, that's a weird metaphor, because we don't really want to hyperventilate. That's not where we're going. But anyways, I hope you're with me. All right. So the second belief is that money is bad or wrong. And that is a belief that's wildly common. And I walk people through that one every day. And I think really where people get a little twisted on this is that they think that the systems that money runs through is that the money's responsible for that. And that's not true. So here's the way that you could open this belief up. So if you believe that money is bad or wrong, you're going to be really closed off to money, because you're not going to want to be in possession of this evil resource. Right? If money's going to corrupt you with its evil powers, you're not going to want it. The other side of that is that money is good or right. And that's also not all the way true, because really the way that money is just a resource. Money is a natural, it's a resource. It's a free flowing, it's neutral. It's a neutral, not natural resource. It's a neutral resource. And it flows. I want you to imagine this in this metaphor. So it's like pipes. So pipes bring water to places, but water is a neutral force. Now, if the pipes bring water to one side of the street and not to the other side of the street, that's not fair. But the water wasn't the one who built the pipes. The people built the pipes, right? And if it's, if I was to use my water to water my garden, cool. But if I was used to use, put my water into a fire hose and spray people with it, also not real nice, not super kind. And so where I want you to remember this is that money is a natural, neutral. Money is a neutral force. It's, like I said, it's the symbol for a value exchange that happens in the marketplace. And where we can open up to that is to just acknowledge that for what it is. And also then when we're looking at systems that seem unjust or unfair or not right or causing separation or causing unfairness or injustice or whatever, just remember that the pipes are not the same thing as the water, that there are systems in this world that are unfair, that are not right. But also it's not money that built those systems. It was people that built those systems. And here's where I'm going with this is because I talk to people who are the kind of people who are really into social justice sometimes, who really are wanting for fair wages, wanting the world to be a better place, wanting the environment to be saved, wanting all these things. And they don't have the money to be able to buy the local bacon, which is significantly more expensive than the big farm-raised bacon and other meats and things like that. And they feel bad about charging. They feel bad about making money. They feel bad about these things. That like they're playing the game that's super unfair. And I'm like, so here's the thing though. Here's the thing is that it takes money to rebuild systems. If you are going to rebuild the pipes through your house, that is going to take money. You need to lobby politicians. You need to, even in just small ways, like buying the locally farmed produce, like all of these things take a little bit more money. And so if we're rejecting money because of the unfairness or the wrongness that some systems in the world have, that also plays out in money, then we're really, truly missing our opportunity to be able to exercise our power in addressing it. We're not going to have the resources that are required to make the world actually a better place. And I want you to have a breath with that and let that sink in, because it's always the best people who reject money so hard, and it grosses me out. And I don't mean that to be judgy, but I do. Because if you're a good person and you have a good heart and you're hating on the resources that would help you to be able to support your local economy, to be able to put your money where your mouth is, like, I don't think that's a flex. It's just not. Like, you can't or whatever, that's different. But sometimes I just see people who are like so adamant against having money. And then I'm like, all right, so the thing is, lady, is that you don't have the resources and now you have to buy fast fashion because you can't afford handcrafted clothes. You can't afford these other things because you're so against money. And I just want to put that out there. And listen, not everybody can afford to be able to do all these things. And there's no judgment about how you spend your money. That's not where I'm going with it. But if these things are really important to you, then having money should be really important to you too. So if we believe that money is bad and wrong, then we're always going to have to be looking for the best price. And then we're feeding the thing that we think is bad and wrong. And also, if we think money is good and right, it causes other perversions. They're far less common in my work. Right? They're far less common from what I see from people. I usually see people who think that money is bad and wrong. The other thing that happens when we think that money is bad and wrong, we will feel guilty for wanting it or guilty for having it. And that causes justification. It causes guilt and it causes sacrifice. So a lot of times when people really, they think that money is bad or wrong and they want to have, and they want it, they will work super hard. They will sacrifice certain things. And that's also just not necessary. Like it's just not necessary. So that's, So if we believe that money is neutral, and then if we have any beef with the world, we look at like, all right, what are the pipes doing? Where are the systems? What's going on there? And we just see money as a neutral resource that is just a symbol of value that has been exchanged in the marketplace. We can have a much more open relationship with money. But if we're believing that money is bad and wrong because there is unfairness in the world, it just creates so much extra work, so much extra sacrifice, so much extra guilt, and just emotional turmoil in doing anything that would cost. And if you have a business and charging prices, I had a client who, for her business to be viable, she had to raise her prices. So she hired me. I'm like, the volume to which you would have to be doing this business for you to live your life is not really possible for the place in business that you are. Like, you can't charge this little. Like, you're just not there yet. You have to have higher prices to be able to make this sustainable. And I said, and if you don't make it sustainable, this business is going to go up and under. This important service that you have, that you offer, is not going to be available to anybody. So what do you want? And so there was so much just crunchy emotions coming up as she raised her prices. And then she did, and she's making plenty of money and everything's fine. And then she's able to offer low cost options also, but it's because she's well funded, because she's got money. It's because she was able to pay her rent, because she was able to buy groceries. You can't be offering really low cost things if you're not able to pay your, if you're not able to pay your mortgage, if you're not able to eat food. So anyways, so that's the second belief, that either it's either going to really close you down, or if you believe that money is neutral, you can really open it up. And then you can see that it leads us to our third point. When money is neutral, it's about how you manage it. It's about how you, what you do with it. You could put your money in a fire hose and hurt people with it. You could do that. That's an available option, and people do that with their money. You could withhold your money and not spend it in places, and that's also an option. You could plant your money. You could invest your money. You could grow your money. You could do those other things with money. So when you look at money as neutral, if you had a well of water, what are you doing with it? It's not that the well of water is not inherently wrong, but if you're power washing your neighbor's flesh, I think that would hurt. I'm assuming that would hurt. Let's just go with that would be an unkind, gross thing to do. It's spraying people with a fire power washer. Then it's wrong and it's bad, but it's not the water that was bad. It was you and your power washer. And so anyways, so that's the second belief that's really important to opening yourself up to a bigger, better relationship with money. And the third really plays onto the second, but it's more about rich people. A lot of times I talk to people who think that rich people are bad or wrong. Jeff Bezos is the devil. Bill Gates is the devil. The Kardashians are the worst. People really villainize rich people. And that's another place. And what it really comes down to is if you're judging people who have money, especially the kind of money that you might want, or even if you were like not wanting to be a billionaire like Jeff Bezos, but if you're judging even people who make $100,000 or $200,000 a year is something that's bad and wrong, those people did something bad to get it, or those people did whatever, then you're going to cut off your own access to money. And what I see with that is a lot of times people will make the money and still have the judgment against rich people. And then they will just be taking their poverty and judgment into their relationship with money. And that will generally cause a lot of stress in the relationship with money and a lot of just enoughness, a lot of debt, a lot of emotional states of poverty and a lot of fear and struggle. Because listen, fear, struggle, scarcity, poverty mentality does not go away when you have more money. If you give somebody who's always been super poor a ton of money, they will do what poor people do with money, and that money will disappear relatively shortly. And if you were to take all of the money away from a wealthy person who has got a wealthy mentality, they'll have their money back in a few years. And also, I will point out that you can also have a wealthy mentality and not have money yet. Like, I started working on my mindset way before I had money. I started taking on wealth mentality. I started working on my money mindset way before I had the money. So I started to shift myself. And then when I had the money, I could manage it like somebody who was better with it. But those judgments will separate you from money, because we never want to be on the wrong side of our judgment. So if we judge people as, we judge people with money as bad, wrong, stingy, selfish, shallow, assholes. I've heard of many judgments towards people with that have money. And it's people are people. Poor people are assholes. Middle income people are assholes. Rich people are assholes. Poor people are generous. Middle income people are generous. Rich people are generous. It's the money just makes people louder of what they are, right? And people are what they are. So it's money doesn't make people anything. And when people say money changes people, it's really not that. It's just that money makes maybe those things louder. So they're louder. They're not necessarily different. They're just more out there. You see them differently. So anyways, I wanted to give you these three things, because if you start to pay attention to where you are with these three belief structures, these are big time belief structures that are more often going to be in the subconscious, not the conscious mind. And if you play with them, if you're like, all right, could I believe that money is an abundant resource and that everybody has the ability to add to it, then your thoughts change. Then you don't have to feel bad about charging for things. Then you don't have to feel bad about it. You could be like, yeah, money's an abundant resource. Yeah, just breathe in deeper, my dude. Like, it becomes a thing that's available. And that's not to, we all have limits in our lives, right? We all have limits. But if the money itself is an unlimited resource, then we're like, all right, how do I tap into this unlimited resource instead of how do I tap into this limited resource? And the more that I take, the less that everybody else has. All right. And then the second belief structure is, all right, we want to switch from money is bad or money is good to money is neutral. And how I interact with it is good or bad, or how other people interact with it is good or bad. But we also want to, if there's things that we don't like and we don't appreciate the way that money flows in our life, in our town, in our community, in our country, whatever, then we can stop blaming the money for what's going on with the systems, because we wouldn't blame the water for what's going on with the pipes. And that's a lot of times people blame money for systematic injustices or systematic unfairnesses or whatever else. And those things are real and valid and they should be addressed. And guess what? It takes money to address them. And so we want to start to shift away from blaming the water for the situation of the pipes. And then the third thing is we want to make sure that we're not holding ourselves away from anything because of our judgments. So we need to look and examine, do I judge Kim Kardashian? Do I judge Jeff Bezos? Do I judge even, and I would even take that judgment way closer to people in your life. Do I judge my boss in the way that she always has her nails done? Or do I judge so-and-so for having this car? Do I judge those people for going on vacations? Because when we have a judgment, it blocks the flow of energy. It blocks us up. So if we never want to be on the wrong side of our own judgment. So if you have judgments against rich people, you should really start to look at them, because those same judgments will hold that money away from you. Or you'd have to be on the wrong side of your own judgment, which is a bad place to be. We'll feel guilty. We'll be justifying. We'll be having a harder time. So anyways, all right. So that is my talk for today. I hope that you took something from this. And I'm going to ask you, please share this podcast with a friend. Feel free to post it on social media if you enjoyed it, if you got something out of it. I'm really working on growing this. And it's one of those things that I really need help with. I'm not currently wanting to run ads. So your support is something that I'm asking for. And today that support would be suggesting it to a friend, sharing it, sending an email, commenting, leaving a review on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts would also be great if you really enjoyed it. Those sort of things really help boost this show and the algorithm, get it to more people. And so anyways, all right, I love you. I appreciate you. I'm so glad that you were here with me today, and I will talk to you next week. It was my pleasure and joy to talk with you today. Thank you for listening. If you found value in our conversation, I kindly ask you to share the show with a friend who deserves to unleash her financial power. Your feedback is so, so valuable to me. So please take a moment to leave a review. Together, we can amplify the message and bring more money into the hands of good women. For ongoing guidance and unwavering support on your financial journey, I invite you to join the Cash Confident community. Visit www.cashconfident.com/join to become part of our powerful community of women, where we uplift and inspire one another to reach new heights of financial success. Remember, you possess the power to shape your financial destiny. And with the Cash Confident podcast and the support of our remarkable community, you are unstoppable. Embrace your financial power, create the life you desire, and let's ignite a movement of cash confident women who are transforming the world, $1, one decision at a time.